our all-in service, our purple all-in service. I'm so encouraged to see all the purple. So Sally's also encouraged, because it means some of you read all the way through the Pews News. So we're going to be doing lots of purple things this morning. But also we've got a really great opportunity later to bless businesses, which I'm really excited about. So be thinking, because there's an opportunity for anyone who has their own business to be prayed for, just where you are in your seats. And a couple of people are going to come up and share a bit about their business. But there's an opportunity there, because God wants to bless business. He wants to bless what we do, where he's placed us, which I'm really excited about. And we're going to be looking at the story of Lydia from the Bible. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you're with us here this morning. We thank you for the story of Lydia, that it's important what happened with her, how she became a disciple and made disciples. We thank you that our story is important to you. Lord, challenge and help us to make disciples for you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We are a little sparse this morning because we have quite a few men who are away in North Devon, and I was with them, and I drove back yesterday, and it was very interesting experience to get all these blokes together. But we've got the best here anyway, because they're still training to be proper blokes over there. I know it's recorded, never mind. Okay, something interesting happened in the last newsletter. So if you've received the newsletter and you looked at the date for the members' meeting, it says TBA. It has been arranged, by the way, and it's this Thursday. So sorry about that. There was a TBA that should have been replaced by this Thursday. But this morning, I've got Josh with me. And Josh wanted to share something about keys. What is this about, Josh?
Oh, well, it's about, I went to a Christian festival called Creation Fest, and when I came back, I thought I'd lost my key. I thought I'd lost it at Creation Fest, because I was camping, and then that was on the 11th of August, and then, the next Wednesday, I emailed Creation Fest to see if they had it, but they said that they'd look when they got back, which was the 12th of September, and because they also have a Creation Fest in Glasgow, because I went to the one in Cornwall, and then I was just praying small prayers and hoping and having faith, where my mum and a few other people didn't think I'd find it. And then on the 15th, I emailed them again, and they said they'd looked, but they couldn't find anything. And then I was just washing some clothes, my trousers, and it came out. And I found it in the rubber between the door, and that was a miracle.
Okay, that's a good thing. Okay. Okay, so
this is it.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Right, that's a brilliant one. Okay. Brilliant. Praise God. Thank you, Josh. It's time for worship, I think. No, it's not.
Sorry, slight change of plan there. So I'm just going to share with you this morning the verses from Scripture that we're going to be looking at. So we're going to be looking this morning at Lydia's conversion in Philippi, and it's taken from Acts 16, verses 11 to 15. So I'm going to be reading from the NIV. So from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who were gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. I'm also just going to jump to verse 40 as well. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters, encouraged them, and then they left.
Okay, we're going to continue in our worship as we sing a couple of songs. And God is good, isn't he? Because he's the kind of God that can help Josh find his missing keys. And he's a God that can change water into wine. And that's what we're going to sing now. So please stand if you can and worship.
Thank you, Sally. Okay, so in usual all-in-service style, we're going to need some volunteers across the next section. So we're going to need probably about 6 volunteers, but I think if we ask for one volunteer at a time, that's probably the best idea. So any age, if you're very small and need some assistance with reading, you might need to bring an adult with you. But so can I have one volunteer? Come forward. Okay, so around this room there are a series of letters hidden in various different places. Okay, so we're going to start with a letter P. So what I need you to do is have a look around. They're not too hidden, but you might need to move things sometimes to find them. So the first one, do you want to head off towards the back? And I'll tell you when you're getting warmer or colder. Warmer. Cold, warmer. Very cold. Keep going to your right. Warmer, keep going to your right. Bit faster. Bit faster. Faster, warmer, very, 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 very hot. Very, yeah, hot, hotter, hotter, very, very hot. Ah, there we go. Do you want to bring it to the front, please? Thank you. Do you want to pop it on here? Anywhere you like, on there. Thank you very much. Okay, so P is our first letter, and P stands for Paul. So to set the scene this morning, we're going to go on a journey with the apostle named Paul, maybe also more commonly known as Saint Paul. And he was undoubtedly one of the most important figures in history. And he was now on his second journey, and he'd been travelling through Asia. And we're going to get a map up in a minute to show us the journey that he went on. Okay. So it's a very long journey. Anyone take a guess on how long this journey took? How many years do you think this journey took? Maisie? Three, yes, well done. Didn't even prep you for that either, did I? Okay, so yeah, so we understand that he travelled this journey over a period of 3 years. And during that time, his gift of communicating with those who weren't familiar with the Christian faith was incredible. Okay, so can I have another volunteer, please? Okay, Willow? Okay, so could you find me another letter P, please? Now it's at the front of the room. Just got to remember where I've put it. Okay, so you're getting warmer. A lot warmer. Yeah, very, very warm. Quite hot now. Oh, there it is. Do you want to come and pop it on here for me, please? Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so P stands for Philippi. So we're going on we're going to focus on a small part of Paul's journey today, and that is the time that he arrived in a place called Philippi, which, can anybody see that on the map up there? You'll see it at the very top. So in Acts 16, verse 11, it says, "From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia." And Paul stayed there for several days. So I've brought a globe in with me this morning, which is very dusty because it doesn't get a lot of action in our house. But the bulb still works, which is amazing, because I only tested that this morning when we arrived. So, are there anybody who's really interested in finding out where Macedonia is? Does anybody want to come and have a look? See if they can point it out on my globe. Yeah, do you want to come and have a look? Okay. Right. So, we're here. Okay. And if we move, just fly over here. So Greece there, and just above it there is Macedonia. Now that's only the span of my first finger and thumb, isn't it? Which isn't very far, but it's a long way from here. It's be a long plane journey to there. You see where we are here? Near Bristol? To just there. All right, thank you very much. Okay, Carly.
Okay, I need another volunteer. Oh, there's some chocolate here. Can I have another volunteer? Come maths. Okay, what's a pirate's favourite letter?
No P.
R. I need to go and find R. I don't know where it is, though. Kaz, where's R? You're going to... Give me the map. Okay. Just want to go and have a little look around, and I'll... Cold. Hotter. Very hot. Getting colder. Getting a bit warmer. Still a bit cold. Colder. Warmer. Hotter, right, yeah. Come and put it up for me then. Can you do some reading for me? Yeah, you can do it. Come on. Over here. I've got something for you to read over here. Okay, we'll do it together, shall we? Yeah. What's the first bit say?
Philippi.
Philippi. R is for river. So it says, can you read the first line and I'll do the rest? Is that all right?
Philippi only has a small number of Jewish people living in there and there's no...
Synagogue.
Brilliant.
Okay, you can go and sit down. Thanks, Maths. So this piece of paper says that R is for river. Philippi only had a small number of Jewish people living there and no synagogue. On the holy day of the week, which was called the Sabbath, worship was held outside the city by the river. Lydia regularly went to the river on the holy day. While Paul and Silas were in Philippi, they went to the river on the Sabbath and met a group of women. Lydia was one of them. Paul preached the gospel and Lydia believed Paul's message and was baptized with all the members of her household. Lydia immediately invited Paul and Silas to her home to stay so that she could offer them hospitality and hear more about the gospel of Jesus. She could afford to take care of Paul and Silas, and they were able to go on preaching the gospel and making disciples. Okay. Another volunteer, please. Come on then, pop it. What's your name?
Jude.
Jude. Love that name. Okay. So you need to find me an L. Quite cold. Yeah. Getting warmer. She's doing well. Getting hot. Hotter. Really hot. Scorcho. Yay, well done. Can you come and put it on my board for me, please? We're lacking blue tech. Can I give you that to borrow a bit of blue tech? Thanks, Jude. Oh, Jude, do you want to come do some reading for me? Yeah. Is that all right? If you get stuck, just ask for help.
Lydia was a businesswoman who lived in Philippi. She made money by selling purple cloth made from the dyes that the city was famous for. Most business people did not have time to worship and pray to God, but the Bible tells us that Lydia made time. She was a follower of the Lord. She became prosperous in business and owned a spacious home and had servants to care for her.
Brilliant. Well done. Can I have a clap for Jude and Maths? Because they did really well.
Oh, is the map up here? Yes. So can I have a volunteer, please? Can I have a volunteer, please? Oh, yes, please, Matthew. So you're looking for the letter U. And you might have to go quite a long way from there, Matthew. Still in the room, but quite a long way from where you are. Like as far as you can go. As far as you can go. Bit cold. Yes, warmer. Keep going. Warmer. And really warm. Cold. You need to turn around and find the warm spot. Warm. Warmer. Getting hotter. Getting really hot. It's got to be around there because you are boiling. Boiling. Oh, fantastic. Okay, so what, Matthew, does the U stand for? Do you want to stick it on? Well, in the old-fashioned world of texting, U stands for you, doesn't it? Thank you so much, Matthew. So what's this whole story got to do with you? When we're making disciples, the story starts with you because there was that point in Lydia's life, wasn't there, where she became a disciple. Now in her story, she became a disciple after seeking after God and praying, because she was joining with the Jews to do so. But then her eyes were opened. She heard the message that Paul gave about Jesus, and her eyes were opened. So in her story, a worshipper of God, she became a Christian, she became a disciple, a follower of Jesus, when God opened her eyes. And this morning, it's my prayer that if you're here and you're a worshipper and you've come and you've joined us and you feel part of us, but you haven't yet had your eyes opened, it's my prayer that they'd be open this morning, that God would do a work, that you would realise your need of Jesus. And if you want to talk to somebody about that, we'd all be willing and we'd love to talk to you a little bit more. But maybe you have already become a disciple. You've made that decision for Christ to make him Lord of your life. You've heard the message and you've responded. That's where you come in to making disciples, when you first became a disciple. If we look at Lydia, she became a disciple and then straight away made disciples, because she went back to her household and she urged them to get baptized. So your story is really key for making disciples. And if you want to hear a little bit more about that, do go on the website and listen again to last week's evening sermon. It's about how your story mixed with God's story, sharing just a little bit of that, can be transforming in someone's life. The other thing is, I want to encourage you that maybe you didn't have a story where your eyes were opened and you've had a different way of becoming a disciple, and that's what's so exciting. We're all different in how we became disciples, and that story is the important thing that we can share with others. So that's a little bit about you and the challenge that we get from Lydia's story. But there's another part, and we're going to focus a bit more on it later, about Lydia as a businesswoman. Hands up who's wearing a little bit of purple. Lovely. You can look around the room. Lots of lovely colours. This colour was a valuable colour. The Philippi was known for this purple dye. It was the same dye used to make fez hats. Plural of fez. Fezzes. I don't know. But it was really an important job that she had, an important business. She was successful. She was good at what she did. So we've got a challenge there. And we listen to Paul's words in Romans 12:11, when he's talking and telling us a whole load of things about how we can live for God. And in those verses, in that particular verse, Romans 12:11, it says that we should not be slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, what does slothful mean? Anyone? Slothful?
Lazy. Lazy.
Okay, and where does it come from? Elaine?
Sloth? Animal? Yeah?
Say it again?
Sloth?
That's right, that's what I'm thinking. Now, does anyone, I really want to share a video with you. And I think if some of you have seen this, you will know what I mean. Because when you see this, it never leaves you. If you know of any footage of sloths in recent cinematic history, I just want to share this with you. And I thought this was a great opportunity. So if it feels like we're going off a bit, let's just enjoy this video together to make us have a think about what a sloth is. Oh, that just makes me laugh every time. I love just having a reason to share that with you. And it's a great film, actually, Zootropolis. Right, so, not slothful in business. So we get a little bit of an idea. I don't know if anyone else had palpitations going. Get on with it. But Lydia was excellent in business. And I want you to just think for a moment about your daily business. What you do. Do you connect with people in your day? Do you work? Do you run your own business? Are you at school? Are you spending time at home, working in the home, keeping things clean? Are you talking to people? Are you spending time doing what you, whatever you do? Do we do it excellently? And I think it's good to see, because of course there's lots of parts of the Bible about it's not by works we're saved, but we are called to work hard. So next letter, and final letter in fact, can I have a volunteer? Oh, you haven't done one yet, have you, Maisie? Okay, go for it. It's where it's different to, oh, actually not that different to where the others are. You're fairly warm right now. It's a letter E. Did I say that yet? Letter E. Oh, okay. Do you want to stick it up? Oh, I missed the last one. What does it say on the back?
Everyone.
Okay, so thank you very much, Maisie. Could you stick it on the board? Actually, while you're there, you might be able to help me. Can anyone spot anything about those letters? Any age? Anyone? Oh, I heard something over there. Pip Philip. Purple. Maisie. You can leave that one right where it is, but do you mind rearranging these into purple? Because Philip and probably some others have spotted that this purple, this excellence, this business is what we're talking about that Lydia does. But everyone, in our disciple making, how can this story affect everyone? If we go back to that verse in Romans 12:11, so not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want to look at the second part, that we should serve fervently. Does anyone know what fervent means? It's actually from the Latin ferventis. Now, that verse, what I haven't said, is that we wonder if when Paul was writing it, he might have been thinking about people like Lydia. That's the link, that if he's thinking about the fact that we shouldn't be slothful in business, Lydia's the sort of person that might have come to mind, because he would have known her business. He would have known the effect it had on the church, that she'd been able to be generous with her home. So ferventis, being fervent, comes from this word, which means boiling. And the other thing is, I thought, actually, just before I came out, I thought, what about the word effervescent? And I looked that one up, and that was only came into use in the 17th century, but it's from the same root. And that gives us an idea, I think, of what we're being called to be. Not slothful in business, working hard, but effervescent, bubbling, passionate, loving, caring, and reaching out. Because when we have those two parts, and we don't neglect one because it's who we are, but we seek to ask God to help us to grow, to be more hardworking, to be more effervescent, passionate for him and for spreading the word, then I think we'll see great effects. And the other thing about the word everyone that I get from Lydia's story is that it takes everyone to make disciples. Lydia didn't hear that message, be transformed, and go out preaching. Paul had that ministry. But straight away, Lydia used a gift of hospitality to say, come round here. You've got to come. If you believe I'm one of you, you better get round mine. Straight away. There was no waiting. There was no getting mature in God. She became a disciple, and she made disciples partly by being effervescent, loving, passionate about bringing what she had. Now, she had an amazing, from the sound of what we know of her, she was well-to-do. She had a lovely house. It furthered the kingdom in that place because they could meet there. They could go there when they had bad times, when they'd come out of prison, they could be encouraged. She had something really big to give. But we know, don't we, that it's about giving what you have and giving it passionately. So Whatever that is, whatever your place, wherever you are, you have something to give. God's placed you where you are, doing what you do, and he's given you something to give. Now, I've also got something that you can give. We've done something similar before. Matt once gave out some boxes of chocolates that you could go and give to someone that doesn't yet know God. Well, I've got a challenge that's just one step more of a challenge, because I don't want you to give these. I want you to share them. It's just a little bit more connected, isn't it? If you actually say to someone, do you want to share my chocolate with me? So it's a challenge you don't have to take up. I'm quite happy to take all the chocolate home. But if after the service you feel that you could do that, just to take a bar of chocolate and share it with someone who doesn't yet know God, not asking you to have a conversation about God, I'm just asking you to do that little thing and see if you can be challenged to just share something with someone, just to remind us that whatever we do have to give, if we do it with passion, with love, fervently serving the Lord, I believe that he's going to work his purposes through us. So, just very quickly, everybody on their feet. Just to get this into our heads, these two things, work hard and love much, let's say, to keep it as really simple language from that verse, don't be slothful in business, fervently serve the Lord. So I'm saying that's work hard, love much. For work hard, we're just going to do a little action to get it up here. If you've ever been to a gym, sometimes they do that thing where they make you run really fast on the spot and it's horrible. You go as fast as you can. If you're not able to do this, you can do something just with your arms. You choose what you can do, but do something really fast like this. Go! Working hard, working hard. Okay. Huh. Now, the next action, I haven't quite made up properly, but fervently, bubbling up, boiling, I'm thinking something where you start low and you leap up, something like that, okay? So everybody together, let's be fervent for the Lord. Okay. Now this verse challenges us to do them both together. So we're going to do one, then the other. Work hard, fervently. One, two, three, go! And fervent! Okay. Thank you, everybody sit down. Oh, while you're resting, I've got one final point about Lydia that's encouraging to me about disciple making. She was ready. Paul actually went there because he saw a vision of a Macedonian man saying, come and help us. He listened to God and he went where God said. He was obedient. But when he came to this gathering, it was a gathering of women praying together. Did he scarper and leave it at that? This isn't the Macedonian man. You know, this isn't for me. No, he spent time with them. And he shared the word. You can hear I'm out of breath. Lydia was ready. Her heart was already prepared. She'd been seeking after God. How many people are there in our lives that are already ready to hear what we've got to share? I'm encouraged by that. That if we just listen and go and do a little bit of what God might ask us to do, that there will be people there that are ready to hear, ready to be changed and transformed. So be encouraged, and I'm going to sit down and have a rest.
Do you want to come up, Rach? This is my friend Rachel. I'm going to find the questions I'm going to ask her. Okay. Or I? Yeah. Okay. Okay. What's your business?
I have a business making puddings and cakes.
Lush. What kind of cakes and puddings do you make? Can you give us an idea of maybe your best or most popular ones?
Most popular pudding, egg custard tart. Yeah, Josh.
Fans in the room.
Josh is definitely one of my best custard tart customers, definitely.
Okay. How did your business start?
I've always had, or for about 25 years, had a business in the back of my mind where I would make puddings that people could pass off as their own. Because I think if people are entertaining, they often buy one and you can't pretend it's your own when you bought it. It was never the right time. And about 6 years ago, I was very unhappy in my job and it was coming to an end. And Joe Coombs and I had been running the early shift for a few years by then. And then one weekend there followed a series of divine events. I won't go into details because we haven't got time. I truthfully should have been away at a conference with work, but I decided not to go. And at the end of these series of events, Joe and I found ourselves outside what is now Essence Cafe with our nose pressed up against the window. And there was a sign saying to let, and they wanted a team to come in and run a new cafe there, and we thought, oh, maybe that's us. We met the landlord and afterwards prayed about it, and then, much to our husband's relief, decided not to go ahead with it. But then I had said to Joe everything I'd thought about over the last few days and the plans we put together, that I was going to go ahead with the business that was in my head. Did she want to come in? She said yes, and then the pudding kitchen was born.
Brilliant, thank you. So, how's it going?
Great. A bit too great, if I'm honest. Joe and I worked together for a couple of years, but the sporadic nature of the business really didn't suited my life better. So, nearly 4 years ago, I bought her out of her £40 million share. And then I've been working on my own ever since. And then, but sometimes... excuse me, sometimes I have Joe and other people back, some of them in this room, as hired help when I'm particularly busy. So I've worked from home for 5.5 years, and then recently I've moved out into a commercial space, which is exciting, scary, and not even slightly straightforward, but it means I can be more productive, and the aim is to get more of a work-life balance, and currently that is still... an aim. I celebrated 6 years with the Pudding Kitchen on the 1st of September, except I forgot, until about the 10th. So in theory, I did, yeah.
Brilliant. And last bit, do you have any, I think I can spot some already, have you got any prayer needs or prayer requests? How can we support you in prayer?
I've got two main ones, actually, and interestingly, with what you guys were just saying, I'm sharing the kitchen that I'm in. I've been in there on my own for 4 months, but the other people that I'm sharing with are in the process of moving in, and I've really got used to working on my own, not just this last 4 months, but for the last sort of 6 years on my own, and so... that I'm sharing a space, but mainly that I can really be salt and light, and that fervour, have that fervour, and you know, deep in my gut when I'm sharing with these girls who are great girls, but none of them know Jesus yet. So that would be really great if I could be that person. And also, I'm really quite overwhelmed with work at the moment, and something's got to change. And I know God's got a plan. And I'm really seeking God's will for what's next for me. I'm quite excited, but a bit nervous as well. So, because I want to do the right thing.
Massive thanks, Rachel. We're going to pray for you in a minute, but I'm going to hand back over to Rachel D first.
Okay. Well, we've got lots of, I'm sure we've got several, perhaps not lots, I don't know, we'll find out in a minute, businessmen and women in the room. We've also got a couple... that aren't here because they're working. And so what I'm going to do, unfortunately, we have a video that we can't get. It's up there in the cloud and we can't get it down. From Ojan, who is, this morning, timing the Willow 10K. Okay, so his job with split-second timing is to do race time management recording. So Willow 10K, just the one he's doing today, is a charity that provides special days for terminally ill children and their families. It's in Hatfield House in London. And the start, it's already happened, of the 5K and the 10K is 11 o'clock. Okay. So I'd asked Ojan, in case we did have problems with the video, to let us know a few things to answer those questions. So what is his business? It's race timing and results for running events, duathlons, triathlons, and sportive cycle racing using electronic chipping, where you wear a little device. And who's ever worn an electronic chip in a race? And all the details get recorded, and you can find out exactly how you did. As a volunteer, I organised the one... how did it start? As a volunteer, Ojan organised the Wansdyke Triathlon and timed it by hand. He made up a database and slowly turned it into an electronic timing business and was asked to time other races. 7 years ago, I converted to electronic chip timing. I'll read it as it is with the eyes, not try and change it. So number three, how is it going? I'm now a full-time limited business, although I work mostly weekends. Sally is just joining me today. New job with split-second timing. And the leisure industry is still growing, and people are running in more races. The only drawback is that it's always at weekends. So his prayer needs are to keep him safe when travelling, because there's quite a few long journeys and early starts, that I don't lose touch with God and the fellowship, because getting to the evening service is sometimes very hard when you've worked all day. So we're going to lift him in prayer as well in a minute, because we're going to pray for everyone who's in business. So we also had a chat online, as it were, and heard a little bit about Guy Chalker. So his business is a wholesale greengrocer's, selling fruit and veg to schools, shops, pubs, restaurants, takeaways, hotels, and to other wholesalers. How did it start? I love this. As a fruit and veg shop in Rochdale in 1952, run by his grandparents. How is it? It's a very competitive marketplace these days, and it's ticking over and keeping us busy. And his prayer needs? For patience and wisdom for decisions that have to be made for the future of the business. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pray for these people and for others. So what I'd like you to do, well, I'll just tell you what's going to happen first, and then you can decide if you want to stand up. We're just going to gather in small groups around the people that are going to stand up, people who have their own business or partners in a business who need prayer. And we're going to gather around. We'll gather around Sally, if that's okay, please, for split-second timing. Is that okay, or are you rushing off? Great. So would you stand up if you are in business? Thank you. Yeah, we've got autistic eye over there. What's the name of your business, Anne? Hallmark Table Tennis. Did I say that correctly? So, thank you. Nick, what's the name of your business? Let's just hear a little bit, just these names, and then we'll do the rest, just quietly gathered around. What's the name of your business?
It's called Peter Stunt.
Okay. In a minute, those of you gathered around can hear a little bit more about these businesses.
BJP Consulting.
Thank you. Okay, so can everybody else? Oh, Guy. And Guy, Teresa, do you mind if people sort of just gather around you? You don't need to say anything more, but if we just gather around you as a place to pray for Guy's business. Okay, so we've got Rachel. Oh yeah, Alan. The name of your business?
It's First Aid Training Bath Limited.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got Sally, first lit, second timing. Rachel. Is anybody else? Yep, so we've got... Do you want to say the name? Josh?
Autistic Eye.
Brilliant, and that's art?
Yeah, selling greetings cards.
Brilliant, so greetings cards, sales. Is there anybody else stood up who I've not picked out? Because I'm thinking you just stood up at the back. Okay, so have I missed anyone? Right, can everybody else stand up and go and gather around one of them? And you can take a moment to find out a bit more about the business, or they might not want to share anymore. They might just want you to get on and pray. And just go ahead. Just chat, and then it can turn into prayer.